tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa ito parang dhammang sakkacchang dhammo sotapotti. So homage to the Blessed One, the Noble One, the Perfectly Self-Awakened One. And so may you all be intent on listening to the Dhamma, of opening and humbling your hearts towards the Dhamma, contemplating the Dhamma, and doing this for the sake of cultivating the mind, making it better. And this is what we call bhavana, this is meditation. And so when we chant this nammo, this is the paying homage, this act of humbling and opening one's heart. And so we chant that with our bodies. So this nam, it's like the water element, and mo is like the fire element. And so we take the four elements, the earth element. So we take the four elements, the water element, the earth element, and use these to pay homage to the Buddha first. So the Buddha, the one who was far away from the defilements, who awakened by himself, who had this kindness, compassion, purity, wisdom in his heart. So when we humble ourselves and show our homage like this, then this creates a heart which is gentle and benign. And having a gentle and benign heart is a blessing of one's life, because this is a heart which is a suitable vessel for receiving the Dhamma. That if our hearts aren't open and gentle like this, then they won't be able to receive that. So we need to have this inner homage, this humbling of the heart, to be able to seek out the Dhamma. It's not the case that the Dhamma comes to find us, but we need to find the Dhamma, to open ourselves and enter into the Dhamma. So the five ascetics, the Buddha had kindness and compassion to see that they had a chance of knowing and understanding the Dhamma. So the Buddha walked from Rajagir all the way to, spending 11 days, walked close to Varanasi. And along the way, he met with a Brahmin. And this Brahmin was cultivating his Bharami. And he asked the Buddha, "Who is your teacher?" And the Buddha said, "I have gained knowledge by myself." And so from hearing this, there was joy, rapture that came up in his heart. And the Buddha was able to know by himself, was able to understand the Dhamma. And then he walked further to meet with the five ascetics. And when the five ascetics saw him, they thought that he was just looking for someone to attend to him. They didn't think that he had awakened. And so we can consider that, how they saw the Buddha and they thought that he hadn't awakened, even though they had very profound levels of absorption. They weren't able to realize that the Buddha had become enlightened. And so on seeing him, they tried to avoid him. And they went into the deer park, which was just 500 meters away. But it's a very expansive forest. However, through the kindness and compassion that the Buddha had, even though his disciples were running away from him, he still followed them. Because he had this aspiration to teach beings so that he could free them from samsara, could pull them out from the cycle of birth and death. So he followed after them, even though they tried to avoid him. And initially they weren't interested, they weren't able to accept. But Anya Kondanya, he was quite old already. And upon seeing the Buddha, he thought that, well, perhaps he had attained to something. So the Buddha told him that, "I have awakened to the deathless Dharma. And have you ever heard me claim this before?" Anya Kondanya had seen the Buddha torture his body to great degrees until he fainted 3 times. And so through this very gentle and kind speech that came from the kindness and compassion in the Buddha's heart, that came out of a pure heart, Anya Kondanya was able to accept and listen. That really he had made the aspiration already to become the first awakened disciple of the Buddha, to become the first member of the Sangha. He had had that aspiration for a long time already. And if he hadn't made that aspiration, then he would have been able to attain to an arahant a very long time ago. But he didn't want to just become an arahant. But rather he wanted to become the first disciple of the Buddha. So he's able to become one of the great disciples as well. So his bhārami, his spiritual accumulations, was full already. And so he got this feeling that before this, the Buddha had only said true things. And I've never heard him claim this before. So what he's saying is probably real. So he listened first. He listened to the Dhamma. So the Buddha said, "Well, just sit down for now and listen to this Dhamma that I have to teach." And he just gave a short teaching, saying, "All things that are of the nature to arise are of the nature to cease." And then from this, Venerable Anya Kondanya became a stream enterer, a Sotapanna. And that's because he had humbled and opened his heart to listen to the Dhamma, to be able to take it in. But the other 4 of the ascetics, they hadn't humbled and opened their hearts yet. And they hadn't made this wish to become the first disciple either. And so these things have their causes and conditions that leads them to happening. So Anya Kondanya, he contemplated how whatever is of nature to arise is of the nature to cease. And really this is something which isn't hard. It's something that we've all seen already. We've seen things come up, we've seen things go, we are seeing them right now. We've all seen old age, sickness and death, how people need to be separated from one another. We've all seen people who are old already, who are unwell, people who have died. These are things we've all met with already. But when we see them as a self, We see it as me, see it as you. When we see them, we feel sad, we feel upset. So someone may ask, well, why is it that Anyokandanya, he had this very deep level of samadhi already, and it just took this tiny teaching from the Buddha, and he was able to understand. Well, why is it that he couldn't see that for himself? And Savakas, the disciples, they're not able to gain this understanding into the Dhamma themselves. Really, it's just the perfectly self-awakened Buddha and only him who's able to gain that kind of understanding. And if anyone else does understand by themselves, then we take them to be someone who too has been enlightened through their own means. So we have this avijja, this ignorance, covering over, which stops us from being able to know. That we get lost. We're trying to find the right way. And so different people do this and try to find the right path. And they may go down the path of developing very deep jhanas, wanting to attain through that. But this is still just to the level of samadhi, of samatha, tranquility. It's not yet vipassana. But when the Buddha gained his understanding, that was vipassana. So he contemplated into paticca samuppada, as dependent origination, and was able to awaken through the Dhamma himself, become the perfectly self-awakened Buddha. So we may think, well, why is it that people aren't able to see that themselves? That we've met with the Dhamma, we've contemplated the Dhamma, we've studied the Dhamma, we've listened to the Dhamma, we've had conversations on the Dhamma. And what we've listened to, what we've talked about, it's to do with this as well. How all physicality and mentality is anicca, dukkha, anatta, is inconstant, stressful, and not self. So why don't we get it then? Really, we think that we should be able to see this because it's just so plain and clear. But we still have the sense of self, and so we don't see nature for what it is. So like this breath, the breath is something which arises, stays for a bit, and then ceases. And if we don't have an in-breath, then no matter whether it's monks or lay people, everyone in the world, they will die. These four elements will break apart. Are we able to stop that from happening? Well, we're not. That no one rules over these elements, that they rule over themselves. And so if we're lacking breath for just a short amount of time, then we will die. And so because the breath is continuous, we have one breath after another, therefore we still have life. But we take all of that to be me, me, me. But if we have wisdom, we see how that isn't me. So it's like a motorized machine, that if it doesn't have gas or it doesn't have electricity, then it will just go out, it will cease to work. It won't give rise to any benefit. And so this breath, it gives the body energy. It's cleans the blood, sends the blood to the brain, and then all throughout the body, nourishing the cells. And each breath does that. And if we are missing the breath for just a short space of time, then that will lead to death in anyone for whom that happens. But our hearts, having been born, they meet with old age, sickness, and death, and take all of that to be me, that I grow old, I become sick, I die. And that's because wisdom has yet to arise. It's like we have black cloth covering over our eyes and stopping us from being able to see anything, that everything's just dark. So we can't see any forms in this world. It's like there are many, many layers of this thin black cloth, and each layer is covering over the heart. But as we take each layer away, it becomes clearer. And so like Anya Kandanya, he just had one layer of this cloth, and just a small amount covering over his eyes. And upon receiving this teaching from the Buddha, he took this last piece of cloth off and was able to see the truth, to understand nature. So we have ignorance covering over and obscuring our hearts. We have the defilements of preventing our hearts from being able to see clearly. And so we don't understand the truth then. But when samadhi arises and we listen to the Dhamma and we contemplate, that we're able to see the Dhamma, like Anya Kandanya did, gain this wisdom which comes from bhavana, which comes from the cultivation of the mind, and there's a knowing for oneself. So like one time when I was listening to the Dhamma, just like you are now, this wisdom arose, and I was able to see into the nature of all physical things, of materiality, of mentality, how they arise and they cease, how they're not self, and how they're empty. And so you could see the bodies of beings like this being empty, and then the heart too became empty. And so all material things that I saw, all people, all things, see them arising and ceasing, arising and ceasing. There's this nature of arising and ceasing, and I saw this with clarity, that jnana, true knowledge, arose. I could see how this conditioned body was something very fearful, something full of illness, something that's constantly moving closer to death. So equanimity arose at that point, along with joy and happiness, due to this understanding of the Dhamma. So this is wisdom that comes from bhavana, and it's clear in this way. But each day we see these same things. We see people, we see material things, we see monasteries, but we consider all of that to be me and you. But when we gain insight into the Dhamma, then we understand that it's really not that way, that knowledge arises, we're able to see clearly through wisdom. We can gain this understanding. This leads us to seeing the Dhamma. And when it's clear like this, then doubts disappear, that all doubts are able to go. And there's this very solid belief in the Buddha. So this faith and belief that we all have now, that we're cultivating this each day, and for us to be able to have this kind of faith that takes us to be committed to doing good deeds, it's not easy to gain this. To have a firm faith in the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. And this faith leads us into being sincere, into putting in our effort, which in turn leads us to wisdom. So we have the effort to be practicing the Dhamma, to be cultivating our mindfulness, making this better. Because we know that this is the way to seeing the Dhamma, that having firm samadhi, having mindfulness, this leads us from sammaditti, this right view, and into samma sati, right mindfulness, samma samadhi, right collected establishment of the heart, with sila, with virtue as our foundation. So when things are this way and we cultivate this path, then eventually wisdom slowly accumulates, that this comes up little by little, and we're able to put down the worries, the stress, the greed, hatred, and delusion, which had tortured our hearts for such a long time. And they torture the hearts because we have ignorance in control of our heart. But when we see clearly, then there's an ease which comes up through the Dhamma. And even though this ignorance may still be present, it's a lot thinner and lighter than what it was. So may you all practice together, train together, have composure over your body and speech, which we call sila, to be speaking little, eating little, awakening yourselves through effort. You're constantly practicing the Dhamma, having a lot of mindfulness until your samadhi becomes very firm, starting with kanaka samadhi, this small amount of samadhi, where there's joy and contentment appearing within the heart. And then this goes to upajara samadhi, neighborhood samadhi, where there's a buoyancy of both body and mind. And this is really good, this state, that any aches and pains and tiredness that we had, we get relieved from that. And so there's an inner fullness in the Dhamma. So when we do acts of generosity, our heart feels full. When we listen to the Dhamma, the heart feels full. There's joy that comes up. There's an emptiness in the mind. There's peace there as well. So this is the kind of joyfulness that our hearts can experience from doing good deeds. And so we should be confident that this is the correct path. So as we carry on practicing like this, we're able to practice in this way, then the heart falls into the stream of the Dhamma. As wisdom arises, we don't get involved in liking or disliking. So may you practice in this way, cultivate a lot of samadhi, even though you may feel disheartened, no matter how much suffering you may experience, that the suffering is the cause for happiness in the future. So may you set your hearts on this, on knowing the Dhamma, seeing the Dhamma, just like Anyo Kandanya did, that he gained this knowledge in his heart because his defilements were thin and light. So may we try to make our defilements thinner and lighter as well. And may we carry on walking until we see the Dhamma. So may all of you grow in blessings.